Good morning, Rabbi Isai.
Continuing
our discussion about the Asoro Haruge Malchus. It says that the king, it doesn't tell us his name, which is one of the problems that we have. But it says in the Medrash, says Nosna Hakadosh Baruch Hu believe Hakesar Shel Rimi, the Caesar of Rome. The Pashtus, we're talking about a Roman governor who was inside Eretz Yisrael at the time, because he went to hear, so he went to learn, yeah, we said, Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'lev HaKesar Shel Rimi Lilmoid Toras Moshe Mepi Chachomim Muzakedim, that he learned, he went for a Chumashir, and the Loshen in the Eila Eskara that we have is Mepi Mishulei Aremas, and that is described as the Sanhedrin. So we're talking about a Roman governor who shall remain nameless. And the reason why I say that is because we immediately, I think last week, I may have mentioned that maybe it was Turnus Rufus Horatio. And the reason why we mentioned Turnus Rufus Horatio is because it's pretty much the only name of a Roman governor that I know that many of us recognize. But Turnus Rufus Horatio was not around at the Zman of the Churban Abayis. Turnus Rufus Horatio was sent to Eretz Yisrael from Rome to put down the rebellion of Bar Kokhba. And that was 60 years after the Churban. So we're not talking Turnus Rufus. So we're talking about a Kesar Shel Roimi, who was not Turnus Rufus. Yeah, what's called, Ronnie was married to me, that Turnus Rufus Horatio married Rabbi Akiva later married the widow of Turnus Rufus Horatio. That's a whole parsha on its own. Very interesting story. But we're not talking about Turnus Rufus. This case of Shoraimi, somewhere around the time of the Churbana Beis HaMikdosh, and he called in the Asora Haruge Malchus, these Asora Tzadikim. Again, discussion about whether it's possible they could all have been alive at the same time. And he said to them that I'm going to punish you for the chait of the Asora Shavotim. Again, problem, why Asora Shavotim, not Nine Shavotim. But the chait of the Asora Shavotim, that they sold their brother for the price of 10 pairs of shoes for Esrim Kosef. Now, it says then that they responded. They didn't respond by debating with him al pi halacha. They didn't respond by arguing with him about what's the halacha and whether or not he's entitled to judge them, etc. They said, we will go up to heaven. They were sending Rabbi Shmuel, Kohen Gadol, up to heaven in order to ask whether or not this was a gezeira min hashamayim. Yeah, this is the famous parsha that we say in Eilei Eskra on what's it called, on Yom Kippur. Yeah, Tia Rabbi Shmuel Atzmai V'hizki Es Hashem, and he went up to ask the question. What was wrong with what was going on? What was wrong with what was going on was a lot of things, al pi halacha, which just didn't stim. The first thing is that you can only be done somebody in lemisa for having, he was right, that somebody who is goinev ochiv v'yisameboi umuchoroi is chayav misa. Somebody who kidnaps another Jew and he sells him as a slave is chayav misa. And therefore he said that the brothers were chayav misa because they had sold their brother as a slave. But there are many things wrong with the psak, according to the way the Roman governor saw it. First of all, you need hasra and you need edim. In order to be mechayev somebody misa for kidnapping and for selling his brother, or for selling his fellow Jew, you need hasra of edim. You need a beis din of chav gimel tzadikim, not a Roman governor who is going to decide for himself. Also, there's a tanai, v'his amer boy umachoroi, that a person is only chayev for kidnapping and selling another Jew if he first made him work. So he has to be v'samer boy first, and then umachoroi. There are three tanoim. There's kidnap, there's work, and there's selling. Here, they never made Yosef work. So therefore, al pi halacha, they weren't chayev. But finally, the chiyuv miso of v'samer boy umachoroi is chenek. Chenek al pi beis din. And here we have a whole array of different types of terrible misas, right? Misas mishunas. So therefore, al pi halacha, this could not be possible. Finally, obviously, yeah, which is the most obvious of them all, is yeah, that if somebody's chayav misa, yeah, and for some reason he runs away, yeah, do we then bring his grandchildren in and kill them instead? This happened 1600 years earlier. Yeah, to their ancestors. Yeah, the Asura Rogi Malchus 1600 years after Mechiras Yosef. So you're going to say, oh yeah, the brothers were Chayav Misa, but because they're not around, or he said, because I was not around at the time, if I'd been around, I would have done the Misa. I wasn't around at the time, now I'm going to do you instead. Yeah, have you ever heard such a thing? So Al Pi Halacha, it couldn't be. That's why Rabbi Shmuel had to go up to heaven to ask whether or not this was a Gezeirah Min HaShemayim or not.
Started at Torreway Northwest London, Sunday, Kaftas 7, 7th of June, Rabbi Eli Pick, Shlita, Hurtful Words. This week's Torah was sponsored in memory of Rabbi Shai Nachman Ben Rabbi Avraham, Zechuna Baruch of Gostchuk, Bolit Nishmasa, esteemed founder of Yosef Dov, Ben Rabbi Shimon Paul Tzvi Itzkovitz, Zechrono Livracha.
Bishus, Kol HaKol HaKadosh Hazeh. Yesterday, we read the Pasha of Meraklim in Pasha Shlach Lecho. We learned about the harsh consequences of Lashon Hara. And the Chofetz Chaim did an amazing job in spreading the word, how important it is to avoid Lashon Hara in various forum. But there is another kind of verbal abuse, which is not perhaps so much talked about, forgive the pun, and that is Onas Devorim. Onas Devorim, Lashon Hara is about a third party, it's about somebody else. But Onas Devorim is insulting somebody directly. To insult somebody directly is an Issa D'Oraisa, Velo Sona Ish Es Amiso, in Pashas Bahar. There are also expressions in other Pashas as well. We have in Mishposim and so on, we'll come to that. Do not annoy, aggrieve somebody else. Do not insult somebody else. And the Gemara in Bava Metzion Nun Ches refers this also not necessarily to insults, but other unsavory ways of talking, like misleading others, like going into a shop to ask the prices, raising the seller's hopes, and yet you're not intending to buy, giving wrong directions, reminding a Baal Tshuva or a Ger of their past. All these come under Onas Devorim, but today we're concentrating on the subject of giving insults. And Chazal say that Onas Devorim is worse than Onas Mamon, than cheating somebody financially. Why? Because when you cheat somebody financially, it's not distressing the person as much as when it's personal and when it's humiliation. Or when money is obtained dishonestly, at least you can pay it back. But hurt feelings, you can't undo. But yet, in the secular world, it is common. We hear insults going on every day in the media. Sometimes they're seen as funny, but it's an Issur Lav D'Oraisa. I mean, our politicians are not role models. They're not examples. But, you know, when you start seeing what they talk about, they're full of insults. A story is told of Sir Winston Churchill, who was told by a woman, "You're drunk." He said, "Yes, madam, I am drunk, but tomorrow morning I will be sober and you will still be ugly." Apparently Lady Astor said to him, "If I were your wife, I would put poison in your tea." And he answered, "Yes, madam, if you were my wife, I would drink it." I won't even start to describe the insults being given out by President Donald Trump. That's for another time. But even in our own circles, you know, it seems to be so commonplace that it's a normal thing to give insults. I remember in my Hasmonean days, there was a teacher who said to a boy, or said to a number of boys, "If your brains would be made of gunpowder, there would not be enough to blow your silly little couple off." Now, that's not education. That is abuse. That is verbal abuse. That isn't Issur D'Oraisa. One is not allowed to talk like that. And I mean, in the Yiddish language, which we so proudly talk so much, there are probably more insults in the Yiddish language than any other language. I mean, if you call somebody a shlemiel, then that is Onas Devorim. It's also. If you call somebody a shlemazel, a nudnik, that is an insult. You know the difference, of course, between a shlemiel and a shlemazel. The shlemiel is the one who falls over with a soup, and the shlemazel is the one it lands on. And then the nudnik is the one who wants to know what kind of soup it was. And then you get the kochelefel, who goes and talks to the council hygiene department about the soup being spilt in the restaurant. So you insult people with all these Yiddish expressions, however nice and holy Yiddish is, you are committing an Issur D'Oraisa of Onas Devorim. And yet, sadly, you do hear it in Heimischer circles, where somebody says to somebody else, you're a loser, you're a stupid idiot. If somebody says to their own child, you are a stupid idiot, that is onos dvorim. The Sefer Chinuch makes very clear that if you insult your child, that's not called education. If you insult the child, that's onos dvorim. And remember, a child can't give mechila until they're bar mitzvah. So it's a very grave issue. When you say to a child, you're not going to get anywhere in your life. Or if you say to a child, nobody will ever want to marry you, or I won't come to your wedding. You're an incompetent buffoon, nothing between your ears. These are isurim d'oraisa, they are insults. They are not training a person to go on the right derech. Ah, you might argue, yes, I'm doing it l'shem shemayim, I want to put them on the right path, and therefore it's education. And it's true that the Rambam does say, k'dei l'lamdom Torah umnus o l'alicham baderech yishora. Yeah, you might say some harsh criticisms in order to teach Torah and trade or whatever, avo barachamim gedolim v'kovod. But it has to be said with rachamim, with kovod. You have to have respect even for the child. And this is brought down in Yeredeah Simon Reish Mem Vov. To spur somebody into the correct behavior, yes, avada, so you will give some harsh words, but it doesn't have to be verbal abuse. So not only do we find this in the Parsha of Bahar, v'losone isamiso, we also have in Parsha's Misposim, v'ger losone, v'chi agur itcho ger losone roso, and also in Vayikra, your test, and then kol almono with a widow, kol almodo v'yosam lo sanum. It passes in Mishpatim Chaf Beis, specifically referring to a widow or an orphan. You may not upset them, insult them. Imane soneo. So listen to these very strong words from the Chumash itself. If you abuse them, kim sok yitzak elai, and if they cry to me, I will hear their prayers. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, shema eshma sakoso. Their davening will be answered. They get a direct line to me. V'chora api, and I will become very angry. V'horakti eschem v'chorim, and you will die by the sword. V'hoyuna sheichem almanos, and I will make your wives into widows. Uvenechem yosomim, and I will make your sons into orphans. In which other is in the Torah do you get such strong language? Where else? That I will turn your wives into widows and I will turn your children into orphans if you commit this, and I will be listening to them. This is unbelievable. And although we're saying in that pasuk we're talking about widows and orphans, if you look in Rashi, Rashi there says, "V'hu adim l'chol adam." This applies to anybody. So we have to realize how severe this issur is. And why is it that it's regarded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as so severe? Because if you look in the Maharal, in the Sivas Olam, he says, when you hurt the feelings of another person, you are harming their nefesh. You are harming something which is super sensitive. Just like physically the eye is very sensitive, the nefesh is super sensitive, and the nefesh of a person is directly linked to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'yodo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is why it is regarded as something affecting nefesh, something so seriously. So if you think, well, I'm only committing pranks, I was only joking, that's not really the case. One can't do that. All right, if you do an April Fool trick on somebody who wants you to do an April Fool trick and it's not going to hurt their feelings, yeah, fine. But you have to be careful where to draw the line. There's a story told in the Chasam Sofer, the Tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer, in Choshen Mishpat, Kuf Ayin Vav, about a Shoichet who thought he'll play a practical joke on a moel. And he met the moel and he said, my wife gave birth. She gave birth to a girl, but he said to the moel, my wife gave birth to a boy. Would you come and do the bris? It's in such and such a town, 4 hours drive away. Yeah, yeah, I'll come along. And the moel turns up and says, I've come to do the bris. What do you mean bris? There's no baby here. It was a girl who was born. Says the Chasam Sofer, you are not allowed to eat the meat prepared by this shochet. He is an outcast. We don't have anything to do with him. Oh, he only meant it as a joke. Completely osur. And yet, also in the privacy of one's own home, it's much more tempting where people might come out with insulting remarks when the outsiders don't hear it. I once had a phone call from somebody, Heimish fellow, Davens with Svech Kavona, and all the things you can say nice about him, a real London. And yet, after the phone call, he forgot to put his phone down. Now, often after a phone call, I don't put my phone down, I don't press the red button, because the other guy presses it, so why should I bother? And I just leave the phone lying there, and I could hear verbal abuse going on in his house. He was abusing his wife in a most disgusting way. I couldn't believe it. Well, I then switched off, but what was going on? That is why the Pasuk, when it says Velo Sonu Isha Shahmiso, says V'yoreso Melokecho. Why did it say there V'yoreso Melokecho? Because even if you think nobody else is listening, even if you think it's in the privacy of your house, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am recording it on tape. I am listening. Even in the privacy of one's own house. So especially to one's wife, then Gemara Bava Mesir Nunches says, La'olam yezoi ba'onos ishto, and one has to be careful, even the way one talks to one's wife. Now, I'm not really qualified to give marriage guidance, I've only been married for 44 years, but let's hear what he says. La'olam yezoi ba'onos ishto, mitok shedim oso matsuyo, onoso karova. Your wife is much more sensitive. She can easily cry when you make remarks where she relies on you, she trusts you and she loves you, and you are giving her an insult. And the Torah says when you get married, v'simach es ishto, you have to make your wife happy. Ah, you'll say to me, that's just for 1 year. No. don't be kidding. V'simach es ishto, it does say it's for 1 year, and you might say, well, it's not fair. Why can't the Torah say she should make me happy? Okay, I've got to make her happy, but it doesn't say she's got to make me happy. Don't you worry. You make her happy, then she will make you happy. But what about after that year is up? A lot of people forget that when they sign that ksuvah on their wedding day, it doesn't just say that I will be feeding my wife and I will be looking after and I'll give panosa. It says, v'okir, and I will show her affection. And yet you find people make senseless comments. They might not even realize it. They might not even have this. Rav Chaim Ozer Krajinsky, he made a Kabbalah before Yom Kippur. Lachshev kodem kol dibur. To think before one speaks. Anything. Because you never know how it might hurt or offend somebody. And it happens when, let's say you're visiting the sick. Bikur cholim. Oi, you say to the fellow sick, you know, my uncle had the same illness as you, and boy, did he go through suffering. You have no idea what he went through. That's not the way to talk when you're visiting the sick. And then, what about on the subject of shiduchim? You get single people who are constantly barraged with comments like, no, what are you waiting for? Or is nobody good enough for you? And yet, they're feeling it because it's not their fault. They haven't yet found their besherta. And to say words like this to them hurts them. In fact, Rav Pam had a principle that he would not say Im Yitzah Shem Baidir once that single was above the age of 21 or 22. Because once you say Im Yitzah Shem Baidir when they're getting on in years, then it hurts them. It doesn't give them feeling of confidence and hope. And what about when it comes to a shiva? People sometimes say things, they don't realize how hurtful it can be. Don't worry, you'll get over it. No, they won't get over it. Did he suffer? Do you think that his illness might have been some sort of punishment? Tactless. Now, this is not insulting, but it comes under an oath of Rome because one is hurting somebody's feelings or one is humiliating. I was once at a shiva in Hendon. In the winter, Mincha was at 1 p.m. So I was there at 5 to 1. And at 10 past 1, Mincha hadn't started yet. So somebody there went up to the Avelim and said, no, it's past 1 o'clock already. Why aren't we davening? What's the matter with you? Come on, let's get davening. Is that the way to speak to Avelim? Well, I mean, what did he come to the shiva for? He didn't come to comfort the Avelim. If you really want to start davening on time, then go to Monk Shul. But when you go to a shiva, you know, be a bit more tactful. A story happened which over 200 years ago, a young lady called Rivka Heller. She was a great-granddaughter of the Tosafos Yom Tov, Rav Yom Tov Lipman Heller. Her name was Rivka Heller. She was a fine young lady, Balas Midas, and she davened very hard that she should marry a Talmid Chacham. She used to help out in her father's shop when he went away traveling on business. And the competitor of that shop started spreading false rumors about her, that she leads a loose life and she's not somebody to associate with, and nobody would suggest a shidduch for her. She cried and cried and davened, but in the end, the only one who was willing to marry her was a rather low-life Yid who wasn't exactly brainy. He was called Aaron the Shmeiser. He was the one whose job was to whip the horses. Not even the carriage driver. He had to whip the horses. Okay, he was an Elich Yid, but that was his job. He had to whip the horses. And he agreed to marry her. And on her wedding day, she cried to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And remember, somebody was insulted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens. She said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, please, can I have children who are Talmidei Chachomim? V'la'aluvas nefesh toshia. La'aluvas, we say this bracha at the end of, after the Haftarah. Oluv means humiliated. That I should be saved from the humiliation which I've been suffering. She had four sons. Their names were Yechiel, Yehoshua, Yisrael, and Meir. And they all turned out to be not just Talmidei Chachomim, but they turned out to be Gedolei Yisrael. In fact, if you look at the Shalosh Teshuvos of Rabbi Yechiel Hela, it's called Shalosh Teshuvos Amudei Or. Or Aleph Vav Resh stands for Aaron Verivka, his parents. His name was Aaron, her name was Rivka. And that's why he called it Amudei Or. And every single tshuva which you see, he signs his name He'olov. He'olov Yechiel Hela. He'olov, the humiliated one. He shared in the grief and the humiliation which his mother has suffered. An amazing piece of Musa. Yet, we do see in various places, particularly in Talmud Bavli, where some verbal expressions are given, which are basically insults. They're not very respectful and decent. In Bovel it says they used to offend each other, B'Gemara Sanhedrin Chavdalud. But why is it that we find Amoraim who are insulting each other? They say comments which you might say are not exactly polite. It's not just Amoraim. You find it also in the Rishonim, the Rivet against the Rambam. Sometimes he says what he says doesn't make sense. Or you say he deserves a pulse of the Nura, lo noher, velo tsoher, velo bohir. He criticizes the Rambam for not quoting sources. He didn't want the Mishnah Torah of the Rambam to be a replacement of anything else. So the Rivet writes very strong words. But in the Amoraim itself, Rabbi Zeira asks Rabbi Bahu whether meat which falls from the sky might be kosher. And Rabbi Bahu says, you are a demented ostrich. I mean, it's an insult. Not sure if it really means ostrich. The word uses yorod, but that's the way it's normally translated. Rebbe called his Talmud Levi. He says, you've got no brains in your head. And this is in three times. It's in Yevamah Staf Tes, Bava Metzir, Daf Chav, Menachah Staf Pei. This is an insult. Rav Shesha said about Rav, he must have been falling asleep when he said this. Yevamah Staf Talud, Tzadi Aleph, Kuf Tes. All right, you might say falling asleep is not necessarily an insult, but it was a bit derogatory. Rabbah called Rab Amram a terudo. A terudo means a scatterbrain, a fool. Now, go on, Baba Tzia, Baba Kamakuf, hey, why is it that we've got this severe issue we've described about Onos Devarim, not to insult one Jew to another, and yet the Amoraim were saying these things which we wouldn't hear amongst ourselves, would we? Now, you might say to me, well, you know, they were getting into the heat of the argument. They're only human. Can we really say that about Amoraim? They were only human. If we recognize that they were like angels, then we have the right to describe ourselves like men. If they were regarded like men, we're like donkeys. We have to realize that these were Torah giants way above ourselves. How is it possible that you get these comments? One Rav calls another one, you are vinegar, the son of wine. And Rav Bachano says, you're stupid as a fool. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok says, you are a black pot, which was meant to be an insult. How is it that Amoraim could say all these insults when we've got a clear-cut Issa Daraisa of Onos Devarim? The Tshuvas of the Chavos Yoyer, Rav Yaechaim Bacharach, he was Nifta over 300 years ago, he writes a tshuva on this subject, and he says, well, often the remarks which were made were from a teacher to a pupil, and they wanted to spur the correct behavior. It's not feeling like a compelling answer, because as we know already, you have to strike the balance. You know, you tell off the pupil, but you don't mock the pupil. But he quotes from Yerideah Simon Reishim Vov that you have to give criticism to Talmidim and you have to strike a balance. And then he says sometimes the insults, which are apparent insults, were really compliments, were perhaps saying to them something complimentary, like, he must have been falling asleep when he said this because he would have never said that when he was awake. And therefore it's a kind of compliment, says Rav Yoher. Or he says they were friends, close friends with each other, he didn't mind it, a bit of teasing between each other. But one can't help feeling that the Chavos Yoher was a bit apologetic in the sense that he tried to find reasons why the Amoraim were trading insults with each other. You know, surely, just like we take siyogim and we have precautions against doing other issuim d'oraisa, surely one should take precautions about anos devarim. So the Chometz Chaim addresses this question in his commentary Be'emayim Chaim, which is on the Hilchas, on his Shmiras Haloshon, in the section called Makar Chaim, and there in the Be'emayim Chaim, he asks this question. And where we find from the Geonim of our previous generations, one is teasing his friend, this was to criticize the essence of the Dvar Torah, the Psak that they were giving, that what they were doing was the Shem Shemaim. Now, before you say, oh, well, that's another whitewash, let's see what he says. Because they couldn't agree as to what the halacha is. There was the worry that the person was insulting. He was worried that the other person's psak would be taken seriously by a yidden who will then be breaking the halacha. It would be a stumbling block. They weren't intending Chas v'Shalom to actually mock or lislotzets to the sonus echad nechavero akiafilim alag ha'hu haya emes, because even if it was true halo yedua hu de'osa lignos afilo ala emes, you don't mock somebody even on the emes. That's the Chavetz Chaim. They were saying the Shem Shemaim. Well, now I still have a kasha, because, you know, we got the story of Penina and Chanah. Chanah davened hardly, hard for children. She was crying, she had no children, and Penina, her co-wife, they were both wives of Elkanah. She gave birth, she had 10 children. So Penina started mocking Chanah. She said things to her like, you know, are you going now on the school run to pick up the kids from school? She said things which were hurtful. And when Penina was asked, why are you talking like this? She said, it's the Shem Shemaim, because if I insult her, then that will provoke her to daven. And if she davens hard, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to her. So my kavanah is the Shem Shemaim. What happened? Penina lost 8 of her 10 children. So however much she said it was the Shem Shemaim, she suffered. In fact, it was destined that she was going to lose all 10 of her children. When each child that Chanah gave birth to, 2 children of Penina died. So when it got to 8 dying and Chanah was expecting her 5th child, Chanah davened that Penina should not lose her last 2 children. And that davening saved them. So we find that even when a person says it's Shem Shemaim, I mean, yesterday's Sedra, and yesterday's Parsha, the Meraglim, what they did was also in the Shem Shemaim. They had the attitude, look, we're in the Midbar now, we can learn Torah all day. Once we go into Eretz Yisrael, we're going to have to work. Their Kavanah was the Shem Shemaim. But what they did was wrong. So how can we use this Shem Shemaim comment to justify Onos Devarim? Indeed, there's an English proverb, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So we can say, in trying to amplify what the Chofetz Chaim says, the person who was teasing, who was worried about somebody else giving a psak halacha, this was not comparable to Penina or to the Meraglim. This was about a psak halacha where they were worried that people will be led astray and do the wrong things. They might end up eating chometz on Pesach. They might be shorei eishes ish la'almo. So they felt that it was justified to say harsh words. And by making latsonus, making a comment which is mockery, that is a bittle. Litsonus is a bittle. It's a nullification. Just like we have Latsonus on Rivka Hela, which was a character assassination. Then Latsonus was a bittle.
But so also, if you do litsonos of an abikoros, which is allowed or even encouraged, then that litsonos is abyssal, and therefore you can laugh at an abikoros. Once Rav Knoblovitz, Zeches Hanei Livracha, showed a picture of Louis Jacobs to his Talmidim, and he said, look at this guy, he looks like a monkey. He started teasing him and mocking him. Because when you do a litsonos on abikoros, that is a bittle. So there's another aspect to it. When you do Isur Anoch,
is that annulled?
It's annulled. Yeah. It's a bittle means an annulment.
No, he asked, is it allowed?
Oh, is it allowed? Yes. On an abikoros, definitely. Yes. So there's another aspect to it. Lo sonu isa shalamiso, the Mukhe Yosef says, this is talking about insulting somebody else who's a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, somebody who's a Yorei Shemayim. If you think that the other guy is not a Yorei Shemayim, is certainly an abikoros, then there's no problem, you don't have that. All right, you still have to be tactful and you want to be makarov people, but the Issa doesn't exist. So these Amaron, we have to understand the mindset. Torah being ingrained in their blood, Nivroim Badomo, as the Egli Tal would say in his Akdoma. They were ingrained in their blood with Torah, and they were so keen to protect Kovod La Torah, because they felt that Kovod La Torah was threatened, that they sincerely believed that their Pesach was being ignored, and it was against Kovod La Torah, where somebody else who they disagreed with was against Kovod La Torah, and that's what provoked them. And that's a contrast to Penina and the Meraglim. Perhaps that helps us understand both the Chavos Yoyah and the Chofetz Chaim. But nevertheless, we do find in Gemara Bava Metzia, Lamed Alef Omed Alef, talks about Rav Chista and Rav Huna, who both spent 40 days fasting. Why? As a kapara for trading insults with each other. They recognize that insults are wrong. And that's why they were fasting, asking for mechila, and fasting for kapora. So there is an old children's nursery rhyme in England, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's not true. Words do hurt. Words have consequences. And even without the issur of lo sonu isa shamisa, derech eretz kodma la Torah. There has to be a care not to offend, but before one is steeped in Torah, one has to have derech eretz. The late Gera Rebbe said that the Shabbos before Shavuos has a name, Shabbos Derech Eretz. Just like you've got a name for a Shabbos before Pesach, you've got a name for a Shabbos before Sukkot, or Yom Kippur, Shabbos Shuvah, Shabbos HaGadol. There's a name for the Shabbos before Shabbos Derech Eretz, because Derech Eretz is Kodma LaTorah. And that's not just Musa, it's Halacha. So I'll conclude with a little story I heard about Torah Tamimah Primary School, which recently held a Chumash party. And when the boys queued up, five-year-old boys, they queued up to get their prizes. Each one of them was asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? So the first boy said, I want to be a Rosh Yeshiva. And the second boy said, I'm going to be a Mashkiach in a Yeshiva. And the next boy said, I'm going to be a Rov, I'm going to be a well-known Rov. And each one, none of them seemed to say, I want to be a chartered accountant. I'm not quite sure why. And none of them said, I want to be a chartered surveyor or a lawyer. Each one said, I'm going to be a Rov, Mashkiach, a Rosh Yeshiva. They came to the last boy, and they said to him, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he said, when I grow up, I want to be a mensch. That's an answer. Thank you.
Sfarim have a different take on the monarch. I'm going to go to the next one.